Okay. I should have had that recorded, all that stuff about IRB on the recording, but did you have any questions on the stuff that I mentioned about the IRB and the study that we're doing?
No questions.
Okay. The first thing that I want to get from you is some background information on a typical classroom that you would teach. So just some questions about that first.
Okay.
How many classes do you teach per semester?
Only statistics or?
Yes, only statistics.
One or two per semester.
And are they the same kind of like an intro course, or are they other kind of statistics courses?
A range, so not just intro.
Okay.
Also upper-level statistics.
So you do teach some intro and then some upper-level
right.
courses. Okay. Do you use fun activities in all the different courses that you would teach, statistics courses?
Let me think. I use activities in all the courses, except maybe the math statistics course, the one that's the most theoretical.
Okay.
And I don't know if I'd classify all of them as fun, but at least they're intended to engage students, make them active instead of passive.
Okay. And, all right, so let's just concentrate first on the intro kind of statistics courses.
Okay.
What is a typical age distribution in one of those courses?
Well, they're traditional college age students, so they're first year through seniors, so what would that be? 17 at the youngest, too.
Okay. 17 is about 21, 22.
Yeah.
Okay. What about the majors that typically take that course?
There will be students who haven't declared a major. Then there will be sociology, math, let me think, psychology, business, biology, environmental studies.
So a wide range. So there's no
yeah.
one kind of major that dominates in that course.
No.
Okay. What about the gender distribution of the intro course?
This is a women's college, so they're all women.
Oh. Okay, I didn't know that. What about the ability level of the students that are in that course? Is there a difference in that level?
There is some range of ability, but we also, I'm thinking about the intro level course that I teach in particular. We have another statistics course called Statistical Reasoning, which is aimed at the students who really need quantitative reasoning type course rather than a more quantitative course. So that course draws off some of the least quantitatively able students. And my course, intro course, has a co-requisite of either calculus, a co or prerequisite of calculus or accounting. So we try to use that to screen students who really can't handle numbers.
Okay. Okay, so they have a, even though there might be a range, it's not that wide of a range.
Yeah.
Okay. What about the interest level? Can you give me some sense of what the interest level would be for students in that class?
I'm thinking. There are a few students who are only taking the course because it satisfies the general education requirement. Sometimes they have students who are taking it because it's required for their major, but they have no idea why it's required for their major.
Okay.
And so I occasionally have students with a low interest level. Often, especially the students in the who are already juniors and seniors, by that time they've encountered enough statistics in their major to realize that it's useful, so there's more interest there.
Okay. And then the last question is about ethnicity, race, background, nationality, even if you have foreign students.
Okay.
What kind of distribution would that be in your classrooms?
Predominantly Caucasian, a few minorities, African-American, Chinese, Hispanic, but probably not more than two or three in a class of 25 to 30.
Okay. And anything else that you might think of that might help me with a background, that kind of a background of that statistics class?
Offhand, I can't think of anything.
Okay. Because I had one, this is where this latter question about the race and ethnicity, I had one person I was interviewing who said that they had quite a few Hispanics in their class and they had taken English as a second language, so she thought that that affected some of their understanding of the fun materials. So that's why.
Oh, I see.
So that came out to be a question that I think is important for us to answer, but nothing that I thought of, that we had thought of ahead of time. So that's why I'm asking if you can think of anything else that might, you know, help us look at that any more deeply, then that'd be great. But if not, that's fine.
The only students that I've noticed who might have language challenges are the Chinese students, and not a severe barrier.
Okay. But you say that there's no more than two or three in the classroom then for that. Okay. So we'll just go ahead and not worry about that, and we'll look at the predominant group in the class, and that would be those that understand English very well and not really get at the possibility of the English as a second language for some of the Chinese students.
Right.
Because I do have data from another instructor for that.
Okay.
The next thing I want to look at is looking at the types of fun activities that you do use in the classroom. We have them separated out into different modalities, that is categories. And we'll stay with this intro course. So I just want to see if you've tried some of these activities. If you don't know what an activity would include in that category, just let me know.
Okay.
But the first category I want to talk about is poems or songs. Do you use poems or songs in your classroom?
There's one little poem I've used once, but generally no.
Okay.
Well, I mean, one poem I've used maybe a couple of times.
Okay. Can you describe what that poem is, what that topic is?
It's, let me think. It's the little Dr. Seuss poem. It sounds like a Dr. Seuss, and I'm sorry, it's escaping me right now.
That's okay. I think someone else actually that I interviewed talked about something about a Dr. Seuss-like kind of poem. So
I heard that one in an Uscot.
Okay.
Oh yeah, it's type 1 and type 2. It has to do with calling errors type 1 and type 2.
Okay. Well, I can search for that, but that's fine. We're going to get back to this a little bit in a second. But I just want to get a sense of what you would use it for, because I'll ask a little bit more specific questions later.
All right.
The second category is cartoons. Do you use cartoons in your intro to that?
I have. I haven't done it lately. You know, actually, when I thought about being interviewed this morning, I thought, man, I really should have been doing more.
Okay.
And so
we want to look at the barriers, why participants may not necessarily use them. So we're going to get to questions about that.
Okay.
So that's not a problem. But yeah, we think we're under the impression this group of that it's actually helpful for students. But if that's, you know, we're not really sure what we're going to get from these interviews. So, but that's fine, not a problem. So you said not necessarily lately that you've been using these, but you have used them in the past.
Yeah.
Do you have like a set group of cartoons that you've used?
No. I have a bunch of statistics cartoons on my office door. I should just go look at my door and peel some things off.
Right. So when you would use them in the past, do you adjust as you would notice them, you would use them and bring them in the class? Or
yeah.
Yeah.
If I'd seen a cartoon fairly recently that was relevant, then I'd bring it.
Okay. And, okay, so we'll come back to that. The third is what we consider games. Games don't have to be necessarily like word games, but it's some kind of a game that might get to statistical ideas. Do you use that in the class?
I think I have done something simple with coin flipping, but it's been a long time since I've tried that one.
Okay. And is that for the hypothesis test, that one, that activity? Or is it something else that you've used that for?
Golly. It was very likely with probability.
Okay. Okay. How about jokes or other types of humor? Do you use those?
Yeah, I try to do that.
And are these jokes that are set jokes for statistical ideas, or do you use humor in a off-the-cuff kind of way as it comes up in class, you can make the joke?
Yeah, both ways.
All right, and any other thing that you might think that you use that I haven't listed? We have a catch-all category called other, so do you have any other thing that you, because you just suggested that you use activities. What would those activities be like?
Well, I have them doing simulations and, I guess they don't really involve humor, so.
Well, they might include an aspect of fun in there, if you think that, you know, that might be. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
That's what I was asking. Would you think that would be, because you earlier said that you use activities to engage the students.
Yeah. I think generally when they're doing things like rolling dice or flipping coins, hands-on random outcomes, they seem to have fun with that.
Okay. The... Just writing some things down. But the purpose of the activity is not necessarily to have fun, but really just to drive home some kind of idea, concept.
Yeah,
of
random. We're looking at random processes and the idea of a probability distribution.
Okay. All right, so let's look at... this. So we'll do this in general because you've suggested that you've used a poem a couple of times, that you've used cartoons in the past, and you in general how, when you use those aspects of those various different aspects of FAR, how did you use them? Did you use them in purely a classroom setting, like a lecture setting, or more of a group work setting, or do you use it in any other, like homework, an assignment kind of setting?
Oh, I see. I'd say generally in a lecture setting.
Okay. Is your lecture classes large, small?
20 to 30.
Okay. Oh, that's right. You did say that. Do you typically use those other activities that you've used in the past, have you used them more for basic kind of concepts, introduction of the concepts, or more advanced concepts?
Basic concepts. Yeah, I wish I had things that made inference more interesting and easy for students.
Right. So more on the, say, descriptive statistics as well,
yeah,
as the probability,
yeah,
that you've used it for.
And some things about surveying, survey questions. There are a lot of jokes out in cartoons with ridiculous survey questions. And
right. Okay. When you've done these activities, about how much class time did you use to do the activity, whether it was a cartoon or a poem, and then did you spend time afterwards discussing that with the class?
No. It's just quickly introduced to try to pique their interest or remind them that they've learned a little bit of something and now they can appreciate humor of a situation because they know this concept. And so I just use it to, as entertainment.
Okay. And so also when you use these, do you typically do the activity more toward the beginning of class, middle of class, after class? Do you use it just where it fits in when you get to the topic?
Yeah, where it fits in.
So whether it's in the beginning or the end of the class, it doesn't matter, is where,
right,
where it fits in that discussion of the material, that's where you show it.
That's right.
Okay. All right. Now, when you use them in the past, when you use the poem, let's just talk about that. When you use the poem, why did you use that?
Well, I just thought it was a more interesting way to introduce that terminology.
Okay. Now, you've said that you've used that in the past. Why do you think that you haven't been using that more recently?
Well, that particular poem only comes up towards the end of the semester.
Right.
And and actually, it's been, it's been a year since I came to the end of the term. In that course, I didn't teach it in the spring term,
okay,
and I can't remember if I used it then or not.
Okay, all right, so I see. So you did, because you didn't teach it recently, is why you're not using it.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. So do you think it's, so you suggested that it's an interesting way to introduce the terminology for the students, for the type 1 and type 2 errors. Now, for that poem, do you think that was effective for them to remember the differences between those errors?
Well, not to remember the differences, because all the little poem does is introduce the names of the two types of error.
Okay.
So it only presents those two names, and then we have to find out what they are.
Okay. Now, what about the cartoons? So you've suggested that you have used in the past a few cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you show cartoons to your class? In general, I know that, you know,
yeah.
Different...
Well, I think it piques their interest.
Okay.
And just to show that... that people can make humor about statistical concepts shows, I think that that the statistical concepts are things people take into their vocabulary. People are familiar with them and use them and actually enjoy them. If you can make a joke about something, you're enjoying it at some level.
Okay. And so that enjoyment would help them not just remember the concepts, but also remember how they fit in with other concepts?
Yeah, well, help them appreciate the concepts.
Okay.
Added value, that's what it is.
Okay. That makes sense. And do you think that's an effective way to help increase an added value?
I do.
Now, do you think comparing the... Oh, and let's talk about the jokes and the humor. Let's talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
I think you said you use it in two ways that I suggest, and that is set jokes with statistics as well as just off the cuff when the situation arises and you can see a humor in that, you will make that joke.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you choose to include those kind of things in a statistics course?
A large part of it is it makes it more fun for me.
Okay.
And I figure if it makes it more fun for me, it also makes it more fun for students. I think it helps to engage them. It helps them to pay attention. Helps them to relax a little.
Okay.
My students seem pretty relaxed anyway.
That's good.
Maybe a little too relaxed.
Mine are going to be stressed out today because they're getting a test. So.
Uh-oh. You put jokes on the test.
I used to, but I haven't recently because I had a department chair that didn't like that.
Oh.
I used to put little cartoons in there, which I thought would just be a nice little thing to laugh at.
Yeah.
I should probably get back to doing that again. Now, you suggest that the humor does help engage the students, help them keep the attention, help them relax. And do you find that to be an effective way to help them with those?
I think so.
Okay. All right. One of the questions we have says, one of these three, so let's talk about poems, the jokes and the humor and the cartoons, do you think that one or all or some are more effective than others?
Hmm. Well, I think the jokes and cartoons are more effective than poems, and it may be just because I don't know many good examples of poems. And maybe because I don't give my students credit for appreciating poems as much as the other two forms are easier to grasp, I guess, quicker to comprehend.
Okay. Now let's look at, so you suggested a poem that you used, but you didn't suggest any songs. Are you open to using songs in a classroom?
Yeah.
And why haven't you tried them up to this point?
Well, it would mean I'd have to find songs, and I'd have to learn tunes. I'm sort of a classical music person. There's a lot of pop music that people seem to know that I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, see, that makes sense. What would facilitate them? What would help you use then a song in a classroom?
Oh, if I just knew a YouTube clip, and they're probably there, but I haven't taken time to look. I could just show a YouTube clip in class. That'd be pretty easy.
Okay. What about other games? You did suggest that you do coin flipping, rolling dice, but maybe a possibility of other games. Would you be open to using other kind of games in the classroom?
Yeah.
And what would it facilitate, what would help you possibly use a game or games in the classroom?
Well, let's see. It would need to be closely tied to a concept I need to teach.
Mm-hmm.
And make a big enough contribution that it's worth the time to plan to use the game, gather materials if necessary, prepare.
Okay. And I think that is about that for those questions. All right, so we just got a couple more questions then. So it seems like two things with the categories that you have not used would be time, finding the songs, finding an appropriate game that would fit the concept,
uh-huh.
Preparing the game, finding a YouTube clip that would be a song. So time would be, it seems like you're saying, would be one of your hesitations to using.
That's right.
I agree upon.
And that's what, you know, as I was walking into the office this morning, I was thinking, man, I really just sort of spent a little time to look at this material. I remember after USCOTS, I think, well, I have to look at that, and
right. Didn't
get to it.
And can you give me some other possible hesitations of using a different fun activity in the classroom other than the time?
Well, I would want to use things that are, as I said, closely related to the topic at hand. So, I guess I wouldn't. I would need to choose things that are really worth the time that's spent on them in class. They'd need to have real instructional value.
Okay.
I know that I may be contradicting myself. Important. Well, they would have to contribute to the class.
Well, of course, yes. I agree with you there. What would help you use that? I mean, is there anything that we could do to help you to, you know, be able to more readily, more quickly incorporate some aspect of a game or a song in your classroom?
I'm thinking a weekly email saying, look at this, presenting a cartoon or something. That's a lot of trouble for somebody. So, or maybe just a weekly reminder, have you incorporated humor this week? I should just put it on my Google Calendar.
True. I mean, that would be all good ideas.
Like a repository that I could go to find ideas, and there's probably one available already.
There is actually at the CLAWS website.
Okay.
There is a repository. We do have plans to, I mean, they've upgraded that several times, and we have plans further based on what we're seeing here, an attempt to help identify how we can improve that database. So do you think there is something that you would need to look at a database, a repository that would say, what would help you the best to search through a repository?
I'd like to be able to take it, like the topic for the day, and search for something that is related to that topic.
Okay. Would you want it separated out by types of fun, that this is a cartoon for this particular concept, here's, you know, poems?
Yeah, that probably would be helpful. Because learning a song might take more time than I'm willing to invest.
Right.
We could just weed out the songs.
Well, I hate to put words in your mouth, but if you're suggesting that, you know, taking time for learning songs would be, you know, you would know that there's that time requirement. Do you think that might be something good to say, all right, here's this cartoon, the estimated time in a classroom would be for the various different things? Would that be helpful?
For games, it would be.
Okay. So for games and songs, I guess.
Songs on YouTube would not take that much time. So just a chance to click the link and preview the song, that wouldn't take much time at all.
Okay. All right. I think we're, for the most part, done. Can you provide, give me any additional other information about this topic that I might not have asked? Is there anything else that you think would be important for me to know?
Well, I guess I just would say that I really appreciate this effort because I really do enjoy humor in the classroom, and I think students enjoy and appreciate it. So, and students are not always expecting statistics to be fun. So your effort is really worthwhile.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I mean, we're hoping that we can actually make some inroads into having more instructors include more fun activities in the classroom, because statistics can just be so boring.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it could be just so frightening otherwise. I agree with you there. I think that we do that is helpful for them. All right. Well, I think that is all the questions I have. I want to thank you very much for your time this morning in answering these questions. And I just want to let you know also that your name will be placed in the list of names, and we'll draw a name for a $25 gift card.
That's nice.
So
thank you.
So hopefully you will be the winner, but I cannot guarantee that.
I understand.
So, well, I appreciate it again. Thank you very much for your time, and I hope you have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You too.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Please stand by.